We're glad to be here with the saints in this area again in Oklahoma City. We've been a number of years actually since we've been here. And it didn't seem that long ago, but my wife and I, before we were married, did most of our courting right here in this congregation. Brother Souders was still here. In fact, I proposed to her and Uncle Ornette Maxine's living room.
And we didn't even know.
Didn't know.
Right in front of
us. A lot of changes since then. Life seems to keep on going. You look at yourself in the mirror, you've changed some too.
Yes.
The world keeps changing. And I hope that the changes that take place in our life are changes that point toward the Lord.
Yes.
That's where we're headed. I've heard Brother Clifford Wilson start out of many a message by kind of coming up here and ducking his head and say, I want to thank the Lord for salvation.
Yes.
Folks, that's a wonderful thing to be able to thank the Lord for it. Sometimes we think, well, that's pretty simple. But that's huge.
Yes.
When we can say, I thank the Lord for salvation, that means that we're grateful that the hand of God is at work in our heart. And that means a lot. We need Him at work, divinely changing you and I. Though the outward man will perish, the inward man, God wants to renew that day by day. Thank the Lord for that. We have some of the Word to share with you this evening. Ask for your prayers.
Amen.
Sometimes we think in a revival that the minister kind of put a lot on his shoulders. I want you to know I'm just a tool. Just one of the members, just like you. God wants all of us to be workers together. I have a part that the Lord will ask me to play. You'll have a part that the Lord will ask you to play.
Amen.
I want to tell you right now that if the Lord asks you to sing a song, if the Lord inspires a song, I don't want you to just do it because you think it's a pretty song.
Yes.
But if the Lord's asking you, has something been rich to your soul, play that part.
Yes.
Play that part. Maybe that sounds a little frivolous. Obey the Lord in that. And let's... A revival time, we like to think of it as being a time of renewal,
yes.
Time of reinvigoration.
Yes.
Sometimes we start going through life and the pressures of our job and all that we go through. Sometimes just simply the wearing factor of the abrasiveness of the world being around us all the time, we start feeling this kind of cooling off. And sometimes revivals like this are for us to be reinvigorated.
Yes.
Kind of renew our vows. Renew our determination. And may the Lord help us during this time. We're asking the Lord to speak with us.
Amen.
And let's listen to what He has to say. I want to do the same thing. I want to listen to what He has to say. Because I want good to my soul at the same time. Hopefully we'll all be getting good to our soul. When I headed down this way today, I thought I knew the route, and I pretty well did. Took a little bit different route than what I normally do. I noticed when I was looking for road signs, you see a road sign saying it'd give the name of the road I was hunting for, and it would... A lot of times they say to Oklahoma City, going through Tulsa, there's signs in Tulsa talking about Oklahoma City ahead.
Yeah.
Which way to go? And I took that road because I believed the sign.
Yes.
And I needed to follow that road. Did you know I could have argued with the sign? I could have said they didn't know what they were talking about. They wrote the wrong thing on that sign. That was meaning Kansas City instead of Oklahoma City. And I want to head to Oklahoma City, so I'm going to turn around and head the other direction. You know I'd have been wrong.
Yes.
I'd have never made it down here. There are some facts that have to do with serving the Lord, and we can try to argue with them all we want to, but they're still an immutable fact.
Yes.
That God wants us to embrace and allow Him to lead us. See the road signs. See the principles in the Scripture. See what the Lord has to say to you and I. God wants you to embrace, wants you and I to embrace that wholeheartedly and reap the benefits that's at the end of the way. Brother Clifford, also you say, I've started for heaven. Remember, heaven's where we started for.
Yes.
Not turning around. Take the route that points toward the holiness of God. Take the route that points toward heaven. I'd like for you to look with this over in the Scripture. James, the 4th chapter. I want to ask you a question. Can we overcome the devil?
Yes.
That's in doubt in some people's minds. It's common today for there to be the thought out there that we've got to sin more or less every day. I know I'm using kind of catchphrase there. But you know what I'm talking about when I say that.
Yes.
There's a common teaching that you and I will never be able to fly free from the clutches of the enemy. And I want to tell you today unequivocally that the Scripture teaches differently.
Amen.
I want to tell you today, if that has infiltrated into your mind and you begin to feel like that you'll never be able to rise above the clutches of the tyrant of sin, and you feel like you're doomed to perpetual failure, I want to tell you the Scripture tells something different.
Yes.
And I want us to be able to grasp a hold by faith to the words that Jesus, the Word that God has left behind for you and I. And instead of believing doubt that may have harbored in our mind, let's replace that doubt, and may faith be birthed in our heart, in our mind. May it begin to reside there, and we grasp what God says. We have a song in the songbook that says, His Word is sufficient. I seek not a sign. Grasp but the promise, and Jesus is mine. Remember that? And I believe that's true. May the Lord help us to grasp that. All right, let's look over here in James, the 4th chapter. And maybe we'll just go ahead and start with the latter part here, the 4th verse. Says, Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Road sign now.
Yeah.
Road sign says, if you're going to be a friend of the world, you're not going to go down the road of being in love with the Lord. They're opposites. The roads don't go the same direction. He will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. 5th verse now. Do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us lusteth in thee? And what he's talking about here when it says the Spirit that dwells within us lusteth to envy. The Scripture, he's referencing something that was written that helped them to understand that the Spirit, something within mankind, the old carnal spirit, it tends toward its love, its passion, the things that it will point you toward are in opposition to the things of the Lord. So we need to realize, here's the warning, here's a road sign, here's the counsel of the Lord saying, if you and I would follow after our own selfish desires, our own selfish, it will be in opposition. It will at least end up in opposition to the things of the Lord. So then we take this as a warning. And remember what Jesus said? If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Why did he say that? He didn't say that to you to try to make our life miserable. He said that to you and I that our joy might be full. He realized, and I want to tell you today, here's where the word hate is useful. I hate the devil. I hate what he does to people.
Yes.
I hate what he does whenever I give him the opportunity. He has one description, and that is complete opposition to God in every way.
Yes.
When God is light, he is darkness. When God is life, he is death.
Yes.
And he wants to have that action in our hearts. Wherever he lives, that's what he wants to do. And I hate the devil. And I don't want to have anything to do with him or get on his territory. Do you think that the Spirit, the Scripture says in vain? It's a truth. It is a fact. The Spirit that dwells in us lusteth toward envy. In other words, what it's saying is it goes against the things of the Lord. It wants to feed on things that will create enmity in our heart. It would build walls in us against the holiness of the Lord. Sixth verse. Before we go to that one, have you ever noticed when people start getting in the devil's territory, the chains that begin to bind, the things that make us begin to feel like there's no hope? Have you noticed people that got on the devil's territory and they feel like there's no way out?
Yes.
Here's another immutable fact in the Scripture. But he giveth more grace. Who is this that giveth more grace? I want you to think of something here today. Suppose there are places in our lives. I want to tell you, I know that the devil tries to take young people as they begin to develop and get things crosswise in their mind. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I've been down that road when the devil took me down there. And I'm going to tell you, my mind, as I pursued that path, it was a destructive path. And I thought I was getting what I wanted. I want to tell you here today, if the devil is darkening your understanding and leading you down a path of deception,
yes,
listen to the good news of the gospel when it says, but the Lord gives, he giveth more grace. And I believe, I want to tell you very strongly, very clearly, this grace is sufficient.
Amen.
It doesn't fall short of the mark. It doesn't come to a place that it cannot be sufficient.
Amen.
You remember when the children of Israel had escaped Egypt? The Lord brought them out of there. You remember how they escaped that and the Lord led them? And you remember the things that happened there? The Lord let them see the beautiful, wonderful land that He wanted to take them into. And remember, two men came back.
Yes.
And their testimony was that, yes, I saw the giants. Yes, we saw the walled cities. Yes, we saw all of them. And we saw the good land. And they said, we are well able.
Yes.
Grace is sufficient. Here in Oklahoma City, grace is sufficient on your job wherever you have to go. Grace is sufficient. God is able to cause you and I to be victorious.
Amen.
God doesn't want us to look at this in fearful doubt. And I begin to think that I'm a grasshopper. In yourself, you will not be able to. And the children of Israel were not going to be able to in themselves. But there was one who said that wherever you put the sole of your foot, I'll give it to you.
Yes.
His word is sufficient. I seek not a sign. I lay hold on His promise. Faith is what does that.
Yes.
God wants you and I to hear what He says. And in spite of the giants, in spite of the obstacles, in spite of my past failures,
amen.
God's Word is not to be interpreted according to my past failures. God's Word is to be interpreted according to what thus saith the Word of God. Grasp what He says and stand on it. In this day we live in today, that's our victory.
Amen.
It's not even in human willpower. We must give Him our willpower, but that's not sufficient. Sufficiency comes from the Lord.
Amen.
From His divine work is action in our hearts. And He wants to take you and I, wherever we are on the road of life tonight, and infuse us with fresh faith and grace and hope and knowledge that there is victory for you and I.
Amen.
He gives more grace. Wherefore He says, God resists the proud.
Yes.
But there's another side to that scripture. It's a fact. If we begin to feel like that we are sufficient in ourselves, we'll not get anything from the Lord. You remember the rich young ruler? What was his name? Rich young ruler, wasn't it? That's what he was known by, because his sufficiency was of himself. What did he get from the Lord? He was eager, wasn't he? He came running. He bowed down. Said all the good words. Good master. He did everything. He said, I've done all those things. I've been very diligent in the old law. I have been diligent in my worship. And I feel pretty good. But the Lord laid, Jesus laid His finger right on the need that the young man had. He felt sufficient. God resists the proud. The young man should have willingly, not too many people had that type of a personal invitation. I wonder if there had been 13 apostles, disciples. Jesus said, just like He did to Peter and John, those fishing, He said, come and follow Me. He told this rich young ruler, go and sell all that you have and come and follow Me. He didn't. And he walked away sorry, mourning the cost, because he wasn't willing to humble. And he didn't receive what he could have. You know, he could have been right there beside Jesus. He could have been numbered. He could have watched what was going on. He could have been blessed by that close walk with the Lord. And God wants you and I to be blessed today by a very close, personal relationship. When we say walk, we talk about you're saved. Yes, I want to tell you, this is relationship. This is a father-son relationship. I don't know how else to describe it. I'm talking about when we know Him daily. We have that relationship with the Lord. That's what the Lord wants to develop in our lives. That young man, the rich young ruler, I believe was self-sufficient. He wasn't able to humble his heart. And the Lord resists the proud.
Yes.
But He gives grace to the humble.
Yes.
Grace. Sometimes grace has been promoted almost as the idea that it's something that the Lord just, and it is unmerited favor of the Lord, don't get me wrong. But along when we define it in our mind, sometimes it is defined as love will, this grace of will just cast a blanket over all my sinning, and the grace will just cover that. That's not what grace does. Grace enables you and I. Grace is meant to be a potent force in our life. This is the divine hand of God working in our heart, meeting the foe, and giving us victory.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's enablement. It is the power of God. And I want us, our day, I want us to be able to grasp it to the point that faith is born in our bosom, that is again, I use the term birthed in there, that we grasp a hold of what He says, and say in our heart that I believe it to be true. That is the will of God in my life. God wants you and I to be completely victorious over all Satan and all he would bring against you and I. He giveth more grace to the humble. Now it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God.
Yes.
Y'all like to submit? You find it pleasurable? Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. You know, when you couch submitting in that term, we start kind of drawing back. Do you know husbands can conduct himself in such a loving and a proper way with his wife that the wife finds it pleasurable to submit?
Yes.
You know, when the husband loves the wife, even as Christ who loved the church and gave... I'm getting off. But still, submitting to the Lord is a pleasurable thing. Because He doesn't do it from a harsh, dominating position. He does it from a true heart of love, desiring that He would create something precious in our life, that our joy would be complete, that we could reap the completion of what the Lord wants us to have here in this earth, while we live here, and beyond that in glory. He wants our joy to be full right here also. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil.
Yes.
Does that work? Again, I want to ask you, can we overcome the devil?
Amen.
Resist the devil and try hard, and you may not make it? Is that what the Scripture said? That's not what the Scripture said. This is emphatic truth. How can you change this one? It's in the Scripture. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Yes.
Has that went out of date? Has this Scripture expired? Must it be mitigated because I have failed too many times? What I mean by that, must I take this Scripture and say, well, I must interpret it some other way because my failures say I've got to interpret it differently? No, the Word of God must stand for what it says.
Yes.
I must change. And God doesn't ask us just to change. He doesn't stand over our head with a club and saying, you've got to change. No, but He comes and whispers into our ears.
Yes.
When we feel the lowest, when we feel like I've failed and there's no hope, He comes and whispers in our ears, resist the devil.
Yes.
He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to me. I want to help you. You know what we're teaching here tonight? We're teaching holiness.
Yes.
Yes.
Practical holiness.
Yes.
It's not, folks, it's more than a theory. It's more than something that can hang out there somewhere in theory. God intended this to come down to where you and I walk daily. He meant His grace to be available and active. He made it available. And He meant for it to be active in our lives. And it is very potent when we take what He says. And when you and I meet the devil, when he comes and whispers, and when I begin to understand and identify and recognize that this is the devil trying to make inroads in my thinking, when I, instead of giving it more space, instead of giving it sympathy in my heart, I begin to recognize what it's doing, I see it for what it is, the Holy Spirit reveals, I discern what's going on, then God asks us to resist. I want to tell you, when you see it for what it is, you'll want to resist it. I've never seen anybody yet. Well, there's all kinds of descriptions here, but I used to, or examples here. I used to, out there on the farm, sometimes we'd work with things out in the shop, and I'd take a torch, I'd heat up a piece of metal till it was red hot to try to mold it, shape it into something I wanted to do. And I've never seen a person yet want to lay their bare hand and grab that piece of metal and take it over to the end. You know why? It told you something. And when you see what the devil's wanting to do in your life, you won't want to lay hold of it either.
Amen.
You want to resist it. It has a stench. It has a feel. It has... You begin to recognize. Discernment, you see. God wants you and I to be a discerning people. That's why He gives us of His Holy Spirit. His Spirit does not blend with the devil's. His Spirit is diametrically opposed to those things. And so He wants His Holy Spirit to reside in our heart so we can be quick of quick understanding. Let me also use another scripture here. Remember when it's talking about Jesus? And I didn't look this one up. I'll try to quote it. Somebody else might help me with it. Talked about Jesus, and it said, butter and honey, I believe, will He eat, that He might know to eschew evil. Y'all know where that is? Talking about, it's over in, I think, the Psalms or one of but it's prophecy about Jesus Christ. He would eat butter and honey. Now, I want you to get past the taste of butter and honey right now. I'm talking about what we take into our minds, what Jesus fed His Spirit on. He fed His Spirit only on the good.
Isaiah 7.
Read it to us.
Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good.
There you go. That's the reason why the Lord wants you and I, to ingest the same thing spiritually. He wants you and I to take in, only eat the good.
Yes.
That I might know how to resist that's bad. The discernment, God wants you and I to have sharp and clear discernment. And we need that today, because the devil has tried to transform himself into an angel of light.
Yes.
He presents himself so logically sometimes to our minds to try to deceive and try to turn us from the truth and from righteousness. Don't let that happen to us. Don't let that happen to you. And here is the way that we can be assured of success. Eat the butter and honey. Eat the good. Turn from the evil. Turn from those things that would turn away from the development of holiness in your life. I use that term development. I want to tell you, God wants to put line upon line, precept upon precept in your life. We don't expect our little babies to learn how to walk the first day, but we expect them to be hungry. We expect them to be active. We expect them to begin to express themselves. If they're lethargic and uncaring, we start worrying about whether they're going to live or not. And I want to tell you, if you get saved and you're not hungry, and if you're not passionate, you're not wanting these things, we start worrying about you. We wonder if you're going to live or not. But when we begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled and you'll grow. And the Lord will line upon line, precept upon precept, develop holiness, develop His ways, till we all come to the fullness of the knowledge of God, the fullness of the stature. God wants to develop you and I along these paths. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you who would try to ride the fence. It says double-minded. Tell me, isn't that trying to put one hand in the things of the world and one hand over here in the things of the Lord. That's being double-minded. And you're going to be unstable. We need to make that clear-cut decision. I want to serve the Lord. When we get married, said a vow. I made some vows to her. And part of the vows told her that I would take her above all others.
Amen.
Leaving all others behind. When I said that to her, at the altar to her, I meant it. And when we say that to the Lord, God help us to mean it.
Amen.
These are vows in our spirit that we take to the Lord. I choose you from now on. I want to tell you, when the Lord saved me, He did such a work, such a wonderful thing, that it won my heart so completely. I did not and do not want to leave Him.
Amen.
I begin to count back and realize that a number of years have passed.
Yes.
But you know what? That still is so fresh in my mind. My mind, when I think of that, that was over 30 years ago. Oh, but the Lord did a work that night. And when I think about it, it still causes the great joy of the Lord bubbling in my soul. Sorry?
May I ask you to tell of your conversion?
How much of it?
It's important.
The Lord has been so good to me. I try to shorten it as much as proper. The devil had caused a great bitterness to come in my heart. I came to the point that I didn't like the saints, I didn't like people, I didn't really like me. The devil used a lot of tools to bring me to that. I began to try to convince myself there was no God, no responsibility past this. I tried really hard to believe that there was no God. Until I saw one day the Lord do something that was beyond doubt the hand of God. And it shook me to my core. Because I knew I was responsible for that God. If I told you all that surrounded that, you would have to agree. And I may do that for you sometime, but I won't do it right now. And the Lord brought me from that point. He began to break down the walls that was built in my life. I no longer was able to try to even convince myself that there was no God. But then the Lord was there at Monarch. Brother Sammons preached a message that night about a no-so salvation. I don't know what else he preached, but I know that was the theme. A no-so salvation. Something real. It was about 11 o'clock that night after another man had came and talked with me, and the Lord had just brought it to a point where I was willing to talk to Him about my need. And I remember as we sat there and talked, and he was trying to encouraging me to try to go to the altar and be saved. The minutes kept ticking by. And I probably went to talk with him. It was probably about 9:30. And it was about 11 o'clock. When I reached down to the handle of that van and opened the door and headed for the altar. I remember him saying, "Ivan, the altar is still open." Earlier in our conversation, he was talking to me, and I'd hear him fall silent. Later on, he wasn't falling silent when he quit talking. He was praying out loud, begging God to have mercy on his soul. Silent. When I went to that altar, because of the things that the devil had built up in my mind for a while, even at the altar, I felt like that the Lord wouldn't want me because of all that had happened. I felt like there was ashes and there was no use, no reason for Him to save me. quite frankly, the ones there is, we really have nothing to offer Him. And when they began to pray, they asked if I believed that the Lord would save me. And I said, I don't right now. He said, pray for me. And they gathered around and laid hands on me and began to pray the Lord would help me to believe. And as they were praying, a silence came around me, blotted out their voices completely. It was a silent. I only just faded out. And I heard, I cannot tell you the words, it wasn't really like words. It was, I believe it to this day to be the voice of the Lord that was rebuking the force that was holding me. And it was more like this. He said, "This is mine. Step back." And he said it with such force. It wasn't words like that. It was a very strong rebuke against that force.
Yes.
I want to tell you, that heals faith.
Yes.
That healed it right there. All doubt was gone. And I remember at that moment when I stood up, they didn't know what was happening, those gathered around praying for me, because I stood up. I was done. I was saved. I didn't even know they were still praying for me. That's how it just what happened. But I remember one of the ministers looking up at me like this while I was standing up. And then I kind of came back. I realized what was. And the fellow told me, I saw his look on his face change from concern to big old smile came on his face. He could tell a change had happened in that young man that stood up. That was God. I want to tell you, God wants to inspire faith in every one of our hearts. God changes lives. That has been an anchor that has held me from that time till now. There have been times I needed every bit of that anchor. I want to tell you what, the anchor is still sure. It's still true what God says. We had a song we sang a while ago. I have read within the Bible. I've read it. And then it goes on and says, I have read and have believed.
Yes.
There's a lot of precious promises in these scriptures. We won't realize one unless we lay hold on them by the act of faith and believe it.
Yes.
You can look at the road signs. You can look at everything and it says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And you can say, I don't believe it is. I want to go the other direction. I believe the other way is the way I want to go. And you'll never get to where that sign says. The only way you were going to do it is if we lay hold on His precious promises by faith. A faith that says, I believe what He says. I believe it and I'm going to stand right there. Did you know that Caleb and Joshua, Caleb saw giants. He saw a mountain over there that had the Anakims living there. Probably some of the same giants that the others saw and said, I'm a grasshopper. I just feel it. I can't do it. There's no way we can ever. But Caleb said, the Lord said, we can. And later on, when 40 years later, the man now was probably 80-some years old, got over there in the land of Canaan, and he came to Joshua and said, Joshua, you remember that mountain that has the giants over there? Yeah. I want it.
Yes.
I want that land. The Lord gave it to him too, folks. Is there giants in your life that has planted doubt in your mind? Has there been failures that the devil has used to try to tell you that you'll never rise above it? The devil's been in the lying business a long time. the Word of the Lord has something different to say to you and I. God says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you.
Yes.
I am just using one little part of the Scripture. But as you read the Scripture and the Lord opens our understanding to it, there's so many definite, positive Scriptures that tell you and I that the Lord of Heaven is able to bring you and I through. And I'm saying this in my words, but it's there in the Scripture. He's able to perform it. Remember, was it Abraham? A staggered not of the promises of the Lord. But he's... What is that? That's in Hebrews. Yeah. 11th chapter, isn't it, somewhere? Where is that?
Yes.
Over here, I think, in the 11 and 6, I believe. Let's pick it up here at the 5th verse. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Can we be victorious over the devil?
Yes.
Enoch pleased God. Clear back there. Enoch pleased God. Had this testimony that he pleased God. 6th verse. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's not...
Brother Ivan?
Yes.
4:20.
Okay.
Romans.
Romans. Okay. Read it for me then.
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
There you go. Staggered not at the promises of God. Read that again.
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief.
Yes.
But was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
All right. There's something in that for you and I.
In being fully persuaded
that, yes,
what He had promised.
That's what I wanted. That's
he
it.
He was able also to perform.
Amen.
So that's in Romans
4:20.
See, this is what I'm talking about. You do your part and I'll try to do mine. Thanks for helping me like that. Romans, well, I know it's right in here. Romans 4 and what did you say it was?
20.
Okay. Yes. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded.
Yes.
That he was that he had promised, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Fully persuaded. God wants to bird that kind of faith in our heart.
Yes.
Again, we can look at the giants. And we can look at the things, and again, I keep going back to human personal failure, but the devil will try to bring up to you and I over and over and over again. Try to bring us to the point that we feel like that I just won't ever make it. But the Word of the Lord says, God Himself whispers to us personally and says, come on, my child.
Yes.
Let me have your hand. I am able to perform. Our Heavenly Father did not lose the battle. When Jesus hung His head on Calvary and said, it's finished, He won. Didn't lose. And He gives to you and I the victory. I want to encourage you tonight. As the Lord exposes to our heart, and I hope there's some way I could get across to you the very important fact that God wants us to be able to lay hold on what He says.
Yes.
Let faith grow. How firm a foundation, ye saints of our God, is laid for our faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say than to you He has said? It's sufficient, folks.
Yes.
It's enough for us to bank our future on. To bank today on. The Lord wants you and I to have personal victory in our lives, day by day. You know what it will do? It will cause us to have a real abiding peace and a joy.
Yes.
And a knowledge that I'm pleasing the Lord. Even if everybody else doesn't understand. You know, if you'll be faithful unto the Lord, they're going to see what's happening in your life.
Yes.
And eventually they're going to say, whether they admit it to you or not, at some point in their life, they're going to say, I wish I could have that too. There was a young man that I had. We were friends. Remained friends. After I got saved, went back to school. Had a one more year high school to go through. And as he... how he'd seen me try to make some moral changes in the past. And he said, I'll give you 2 weeks. Told him that I was saved. I wasn't. He said, I'll give you 2 weeks. And at noon every day, that young man went out and drank every day. Almost, if not every day, at school. He's an alcoholic now. Last time I saw him, he had divorced his third wife, had children, messed up homes. But he watched me, and we still remained friends through the rest of that year. And the last day of school, I went over to where it was. I said, Matt, is those 2 weeks up yet? He ducked his head, and he said, I wish I could. I couldn't do what you did. I told him, man, I couldn't do it either by myself. I want to tell you tonight, there's a God who's able. We do our part. And though even our part, we can't do it in our own strength. We can give Him our part. But God makes up the rest. You resist the devil, I want to tell you what, he'll flee from you because the Lord said He's got to.
Yes.
The Lord says it. The devil has never been able to resist the will of God. Hadn't been able to. Not going to now. I want you to take courage. And tonight, if the Lord has exposed a place in you, He wants to infuse some faith or He wants to change a place, I want to ask you to be willing to let Him change it.
Amen.
Because the Lord wants to make your life. He wants to... that He wants your joy to be full. He wants to make your life a pleasurable, full life. Pray for me. I want to be faithful to the Lord.